The following program is produced by the Living Church of God.
Why do millions of professing Christians observe Easter, my friends? Why do they bow down before the sun on Sunday, the day of the sun? Do you really understand the origins of Easter? Do you? Do you understand how powerfully the Bible condemns this pagan practice? Stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World. The Living Church of God presents Dr. Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world. This week, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith reveals the truth about Easter. And now, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith.
My friends, do you realize that the Good Friday and Easter observance directly contradicts Christ? Think about it. Jesus gave a special identifying sign to prove that He, Jesus, was the true Messiah and Savior of mankind. But the Good Friday Easter observance directly denies that very sign. Think about it. Go get your Bible. Check up on me. I don't ask you to believe me, but please do believe the plain, clear teachings of your own Bible. And check up on the other guys, by the way. Don't be a spiritual coward. Don't be afraid of the real truth. Read carefully what Jesus said in Matthew 12. Turn with me. Get your Bible if you can. This is exciting. This is going to be very contradictory to what many people have believed. Yet it's true. It's right in your Bible. It's been there all the time. I didn't put it there. Turn to Matthew chapter 12 and beginning in verse 38. Matthew 12, verse 38. Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you." They were trying to get a sign that Jesus was the Messiah. But he answered and said to them, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah." Remember, Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish. Not a whale, but a special fish God had created. They make fun about, of course, Jonah swallowing the whale and all that stuff. Well, that's fine. They're not going to make fun of that in a few years when Christ is back on this earth. This really happened. And Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights. The Hebrew allows for nothing else. "For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights, Jesus said, in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." Think about it. The Easter Friday tradition, or the Good Friday as it's called, an Easter morning resurrection tradition, directly denies that fact. You have Christ being put in the grave, as they all know He was put in, just at sunset. He died about 3 p.m. Then they had to go in and ask for His body. Then they came back and wrapped Him in all this and buried Him about sunset, Friday afternoon, according to that tradition. And then Mary and the other women came early in the morning, while it was still dark on Sunday morning, and the angel said, "He is not here. He is risen." Figure 3 days and 3 nights in there, if you can. Of course, it comes down to 1 day and 2 nights, not 3 days and 3 nights. Let me give you the scenario of what really happened that week. A lot of people don't realize it because they don't follow apostolic Christianity. Jesus Christ and the true Christians for scores of years, in fact, decades, and about 100 years, in fact, for most of them, they observed God's festivals that are given in the Bible, the religious festivals God talks about, the Passover, the Days of Unleavened Bread, Pentecost, and so on. And so on that week, Jesus kept the Passover on a Tuesday evening. The Passover was on a Tuesday evening. We call it taking bread and wine and all that. He changed the symbols to the bread and the wine. Then Wednesday was the preparation day for the Jewish Passover and also the first holy day of unleavened bread. So Wednesday was a preparation day. And then Wednesday night to Thursday night, remember, as many of you know, God counts time from sunset to sunset. The evening and the morning were the first day, God said back in Genesis, and all the other days the same. And of course, the Jewish people know that. That's why they keep the Sabbath, not from midnight to midnight, when men are asleep and don't know anything. They didn't have watches back then to change time in the middle of the dead night, but they changed the days. The day ended when the sun went down. And so Wednesday evening began a holy day, a high day, as it's called, a high holy day that Jews often call it today, a high day, an annual Sabbath. And that annual Sabbath was Wednesday evening and all day Thursday until Thursday evening at sunset. And then you had Friday, and of course they buried Jesus then just before sunset. As a matter of fact, they crucified him on that Wednesday, and he died and was buried just before sunset Wednesday evening. On Thursday, Wednesday night and Thursday, he lay in the grave. They observed the high holy day. On Friday, the women, after observing that annual Sabbath, came and bought spices, and they were going to bury Jesus. It took them several hours to prepare the spices. They couldn't have bought those spices on Thursday, frankly. They were very religiously observant at that time. That was a high holy day, that Thursday. No way. All the shops were closed. They observed the Sabbath, the holy day, on Thursday. Friday they came and bought spices and prepared the spices and then rested on the Sabbath, it says, the weekly Sabbath, and then early Sunday morning. And, of course, then they prepared those spices and put them on Jesus, I guess. No, early Sunday morning then they came to prepare Jesus' body, and the tomb was empty. So Jesus lay in the tomb 3 days and three nights. From Wednesday evening to Thursday evening is 1 day. From Thursday evening to Friday evening is 2 days. From Friday evening to Saturday evening is 3 days. 3 days and three nights. That's exactly when he was in the grave. That was the identifying sign that he was the Messiah. Now let's follow this in the Bible. I wish I had two or three programs, but I'm going to give it to you here in an overview. Follow carefully. The Bible says it very clearly. Write these scriptures down if you can. Check up on me. Prove these things to yourself. They're right in the Bible. They've always been there. John chapter 19. Turn with me now to John chapter 19, and let's begin reading in verse 30. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, here he was about to die, he was hanging on the cross, as you'll see, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. He died right then. Therefore, because it was the preparation day, that the body should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath. So it was just before the Sabbath, but it was not before the weekly Sabbath. Because as John's inspired gospel explains, the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day. That's what John writes in here under God's inspiration. It was not a weekly Sabbath. It was an annual Sabbath, a high day. The Jews asked that Pilate that the legs would be broken and that they might be taken away. Now notice Mark 16. Turn with me to Mark chapter 16 in your Bible and verse 1. Mark 16. Now when the Sabbath was past, and here it is very obviously when you put all the scriptures together. Remember, God says he puts his word a little here and a little there. He wants us to have to study and dig out the truth. What is eternal life worth to you? Are you willing to study and prove a little bit? God wants you to. And so here, when the Sabbath, the annual Sabbath, was passed, and that would have been Thursday evening, and the first shopping day would be Friday, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, bought spices. So after that Sabbath, and that was the annual Sabbath, and then they came that they might anoint him, and of course they were going to do that early the first part of the week. So they went out and prepared those spices at that time. Now let's turn to Luke 23. Luke chapter 23 at this point, verse 54. That day, this is the day Jesus was crucified, that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath, this annual high day, as we saw in the Gospel of John, which was Wednesday evening and Thursday, came on, and the women who had followed with him from Galilee followed after, and they observed the tomb. So they observed where Jesus was laid and how his body was laid. Then they returned when? Well, they have to return after this holy day. It was a high day. They couldn't do it then. They returned and prepared spices. So that's when, on Friday, they came, bought the spices, which would take some time shopping around, and they had the various shops at that time, and then they prepared those spices, which would take them several hours. And then, notice the latter part of verse 56, then they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandments. So that week you have two Sabbaths. You have the annual Sabbath, Wednesday evening to Thursday evening, sunset, the high day. Then the women go out shopping on Friday. Then they rest on the Sabbath, the weekly Sabbath day, from Friday evening to Saturday evening, according to the commandment. Which is kind of interesting, isn't it? You think about it, the Sabbath was not done away by Jesus' crucifixion. They went out and kept the Sabbath, God says in His inspired word, according to the Sabbath. So they rested on the weekly Sabbath then, and then we find them coming later on the first day of the week. So notice this. Now on the first day of the week, chapter 24 and verse 1, very early in the morning, Jesus was not in the tomb. He wasn't being resurrected on a Sunday morning. He was gone. He was out of there. They came, and certain other women with them, came to the tomb bringing spices which they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, and Jesus was gone. He had already been resurrected the previous evening, right at sunset, Saturday evening. And God allowed him to rest on the annual Sabbath on Thursday, and then the weekly Sabbath, and right as the new week began, just at sunset, Saturday evening, as God counts time, he was resurrected. Now let's notice Matthew 28 in verse 1. Matthew 28. Now after the Sabbath, so here it is, after the weekly Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week. This would be Sunday. It wasn't God's Sabbath. It was Sunday, the day of the sun. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Eternal had descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. And so they came to the tomb, and behold, an angel had rolled away this stone, and his countenance was like lightning, and his clothing was white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid." Here is this powerful being. But these were women of God, and they knew that these were God's angels. "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. He's gone. Come and see the place where the Lord laid." And so this was a powerful time, an awesome thing that happened. The Son of God was resurrected from the dead, and the people who knew about it were shaken. And God tells us later in 1 Corinthians 15 that over 500 brethren at once saw him after he was resurrected from the dead. Therefore, there was not any Sunday morning resurrection. It never happened. He was already gone when they came. He had been resurrected the previous evening. For that idea of Easter Sunday morning resurrection denies the very identifying sign that Jesus was the Messiah, the sign that he would be in the grave exactly 3 days and 3 nights. Think about it. You can't get around that. That is the plain truth. And we've got to obey the Bible and obey what God Almighty says. Notice now, my friends, over in Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8 and verse 31. Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and after, notice, God's inspired Bible, after 3 days rise again. Now sometimes it'll say the third day or 3 days, but you have to put it all together. And there's a clear statement in Matthew 12:40 and in Mark 8:31, it's after 3 days. Therefore, it had to be exactly 3 days and 3 nights. Again, this was the sign of the true Messiah. And the Easter resurrection tradition denies that very sign of the Messiahship of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is awesome, and that is vitally important that you understand. At this point, I invite you to call or write for an audio tape of this very message. You can then listen, review this message. You can share it with friends and family and help others understand this awesome truth. You can prove this matter to yourself, if you wish to, from your Bible. Some of you may also, as I say, share it with others, and I hope that you will. And again, with this tape, we will automatically send you a free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine. Same name as this program. It's a beautiful magazine. Our March-April issue of Tomorrow's World has a well-researched and exciting article proving this very truth about Easter and about the true holy days of God. So call today. Call today or write today and request your free audio tape and your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine. All our literature and all our items that we send are absolutely free, no obligation, and they will be sent to you upon your request. So call or write right now before you forget it.
This informative audio tape is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you. Call today.
Now back to our topic, the truth about Easter. Let's turn again to Matthew 12:40. This is such a vital verse that many of you have never understood. Turn to Matthew 12:40 in your Bible. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Do you personally want to participate in something that directly contradicts the sign of Christ's Messiahship? Do you? Turn to Matthew chapter 15. What does God say about traditions like this, my friends? Think about what God says, not what men say. What does God say in His inspired Word? And remember Hebrews 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same, yesterday, today, and forever, it says there. God doesn't change these basic principles. So Matthew chapter 15 now, and beginning in verse 1. Then the scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus, saying, "Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders, for they do not wash their hands when they eat?" But he answered, "Why do you also transgress the commandments of God because of your tradition?" People have traditions that contradict God's commandments. For God commanded, saying, "Honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death." But you say, their human tradition, whoever says to his father or mother, "Whatever profit you might have received from me has been dedicated to the temple." They had a way of slithering around that. Just like people slither around God's command to keep His Sabbath today. They say it was done away or changed. They kind of slither around and change around His command, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." And Jesus said, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery." And so He's released from His honoring His father and mother by that tradition. "Thus you made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, 'These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me," they worship Christ in vain. Is it possible to do that? It certainly is. If you worship God or worship Christ in a wrong way, you'll see example after example of that back in the Old Testament, where God brought fire down from heaven and killed the two sons of Aaron because they tried to offer a wrong kind of sacrifice, not to demons, but to God. They took it on themselves to change what God said. Very serious stuff. "In vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." And that's all Easter is, human tradition of men cut off from God who do not understand. For Jesus and the apostles observed the Passover in the spring, not Easter. They observed the festivals you find described in God's Word. That's all they observed. Never these pagan festivals that were observed by the pagans for years or hundreds of years beforehand. Notice back in Luke. Let's turn to Luke chapter 22 now, if you would. In Luke chapter 22 and verse 7. "Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And Jesus sent Peter and John," this is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, telling them what to do. "Go and prepare the Passover for us." Prepare the Passover that we may eat. And then you skim down the verses, "And they did prepare it, and he came and ate it with them. And he said that he will not eat it again until it's fulfilled in the kingdom of God. He was going to keep it again then. And then he gave the new symbols of the broken bread and the cup of wine representing his shed blood. He didn't change the festival. He simply changed the way they observed it. That's what they observed. They did not observe Easter. Notice in Acts chapter 12 then, if you would turn here in your Bible, Acts chapter 12 and beginning in verse 1. Now about that time Herod the king stretched forth his hand to harass some of the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. Here's the first apostolic martyr. James was killed by Herod, and of course he was trying to destroy God's church. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread, another one of God's festivals, and the Holy Spirit inspiring this says they're not done away. He says, then were the days of unleavened bread. So when they had apprehended him, he put him in prison, delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. So Peter was going to be brought out, like Jesus, I guess, before the people, hoping that Pilate or Herod, in this case, would get away with killing him as they crucified Jesus and got the people to shout, crucify him, crucify him. He was going to do the same thing here to Peter. But he was intending, it says, to bring him forth to the people after Passover. But you who have your King James Bible, notice carefully, it says after Easter. These King James translators stuck the word Easter in there, but it does not belong there. That's the only place that Easter is ever mentioned in the Bible, and virtually all the new versions of the Bible, at least, are honest in that way, and they translate it Passover, because that is the Greek word stuck in there, and Easter does not belong in the Bible. Actually, Easter, think about this, is the name of a pagan sex goddess. In the spring, they had fertility rites, and this Ishtar, she was called in the Middle East, and they called her Isis in Egypt, and they had other names for her. Another name was Diana the Great over in Ephesus. All these sex goddesses often had the same kind of statues, the same kind of fertility rites performed, and of course, at Easter time, we have bunny rabbits. Why? Well, the bunny rabbits are very prolific. And they have eggs. Eggs is a symbol of life. Eggs is a symbol of sex. And they had sex rites and sex orgies often at that time in the worship of these pagan idols. Why do we observe these things? Because they were influenced, the men who did this, by a real Satan the devil who guided them, unwitting to them perhaps, and deceived them into doing this kind of thing. Listen to this authoritative explanation of Easter from the Encyclopedia Britannica, the 11th edition. Encyclopedia Britannica, 11th edition, under the article Easter. I'd like to read the whole thing, but we don't have time here in this program. Quote, there is no indication of the observance of the Easter festival in the New Testament or in the writings of the Apostolic Fathers. Even the Apostolic Fathers didn't talk about it. So neither Christ nor his disciples joined in anything like that. And we have to remember that. Remember, Jesus did not follow the traditions of men. He said, don't do that. And God tells us over and over, and I wish I could read all the examples, he tells us over and over in his inspired word not to follow pagan practices, as we just read from Matthew 15. Let's notice a reference to this back in Deuteronomy. Turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 12, if you would. Deuteronomy chapter 12 in your Bible. And here's the word of God. You say, well, we don't need to follow that. Well, you don't? What did Jesus Christ say? Luke 4, verse 4, read it. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. What was the only written word of God available at that time? The Old Testament. Yes, the New Testament modifies it, magnifies it, but it sure never tells us to go back and observe pagan festivals. So this instruction applies today. Deuteronomy 12, verse 29. When the eternal God cuts off, God tells our ancestors, cuts off from before you the nations which you go to dispossess, and you displace them and dwell in their land. Take heed to yourself that you are not ensnared to follow them after they are destroyed from before you, and that you do not inquire after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? I also will do likewise. You shall not worship the Eternal your God in that way. God commands us not to follow the practices of the heathen and the pagan and the way we observe or serve him. Whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it, nor shall you take away from it. God tells us back in Malachi 3:6, I am the Eternal, I change not. And as I said, Jesus tells us through the Apostle Paul writing Hebrews, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Don't follow pagan practices and think you're serving God in that way. There you have it, my friends. Will you follow the teachings of Jesus Christ and his inspired example? Or will you follow pagan traditions which are condemned in the Bible? For the truth of the matter is very, very plain. Again, be sure to call or write immediately for your free audio tape of this shocking message. Then you can review and prove this to yourself, one way or the other. You need to face it. You need to prove it. Remember, when you call, we'll automatically send you a free subscription also to Tomorrow's World magazine. This magazine contains powerful articles on prophecy and on the real meaning of life. The March-April issue of Tomorrow's World has an article further proving this very topic. So call now and request your free audio tape and your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine. All our literature and all the things we send you are absolutely free. You'll learn that. No follow-up, no obligation. So call today. Even the phone call is free.
This informative audio tape is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you. Call today.
Be sure to view the Tomorrow's World program every single week. Richard Ames and I will be giving you information unavailable anywhere else, my friend. This program is different. I think you understand that. So tune in each week for powerful programs on prophecy, on Christian living, on the very purpose the great God is working out here below. We'll see you right here next week.
The informative audio cassette offered on this program is yours absolutely free if you call 1-800-934-5579 or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. Be sure to visit our webpage at www.tomorrowsworld.org. The preceding program was produced by the Living Church of God.